So, I was just thinking, my great aunt, who used to had a lot of influence in raising me, used to say that your name should only appear in the paper twice, when you're married and when you die. Otherwise, you were making a spectacle of yourself. But anyway, so I don't think we are, but it's nice to have a little bit of coverage for the blessing of the animal. So that was very nice, very nice. So much is contained for me this week, I think, in these readings and in our experiences as a society and as a culture. I was listening on my way up to Mass at the hospital this morning on NPR, a report of those two men who were beaten and abused in New York. And then we're all very conscious of, I think, Tyler Clementi and this rash of suicides by young adults and teens who seem to have been bullied for one reason or another, but largely having to do with their identity, largely having to do with how they come to understand themselves in the context of who they are as persons in this world and who they are as human beings. And it saddens me. And I think, what's happened to our culture? What has happened to us that we so don't allow other people to be who they are, that we think that they should not be here? There's a rapper who in one of his lyrics suggests that gay men should kill themselves so that we could be done with them. And I think, how has that then become such a part of who we are, or acceptable to us? And I don't quite fathom that. And then, so when I don't know what to do, I pray about it. And I think each and every one of us have come through events in our life that maybe have approximate some of that a little bit, or made us feel like lepers in certain places and times. And so maybe it was the sense of our community that helped sustain us. Maybe it was the sense of our own personal integrity. But some grace of God allowed us to move to be here today. St. Augustine says in many ways that you and I could not be having this moment the way that we're having it now without every moment that went before it. And so that each moment builds on this. And so I think about that. And many of us probably have had experiences in which we could have gone to our grave happy not having them, right? But the reality is that we have had them, and somehow they become part of who we are. And so then it leads us here to this place. And I think a lot about this as our parish here at St. Francis. Many of us gather here because we have felt in other places that it wasn't a good fit for us, and that we felt maybe in other places that this God who we have come to know, who loves us and who we love, seem somehow delimited for us by certain conditions. And that's never how God comes to us. God comes to us completely unconditionally, right? And so that we find ourselves here at St. Francis, and we find ourselves sometimes struggling against the larger institutions who want to proclaim to us a truth that isn't ours. And so we know at some level that it can't be the truth that reflects the truth of who God is, right? Because it's exclusive and it's not inclusive. And so these readings today really spoke to me a lot about this. Naaman, it speaks about, all of the readings today speak about how God's word and God's love cannot be chained, cannot be held or restricted. Naaman, who we hear in the second book of Kings, really, he was not part of the nation of Israel, and he had caught leprosy. Leprosy is Hansen's disease, and there's some understanding that it was highly contagious in the ancient world. And now we have a different medical understanding, but lepers were ostracized from the community. It was the surest sign of their demise, not from the disease itself, but from the stigma that the community wouldn't let them function within that community. They couldn't earn a living. They couldn't have commerce with people. And so their whole existence depended on the charity of the community. And so, and I think we've spoken about that. In ancient times, people would have to ring a bell, or they would have to yell leper so that people could move across the street from them, to stay away from them. And so Naaman, who was a powerful Canaanite, comes to Elisha, and it says, the man of God, Elisha. And I was thinking, what is a person of God? What is a person of God? A person of God, I think, really believes and has some faith that they're not the center of the universe, and that because they are people of God, they believe that other people can be people of God too, whether or not they believe what we believe, whether or not they hold what we hold, that anybody who comes to us in the name of God comes in the name of God. And so that's believable. And so Naaman comes to him, and Elisha says to him, go down to the river and immerse yourself 7 times. And Elisha does that. Why 7 times? This is a man of power. This is a man who expects his commands to be answered immediately. And so he goes down and he does it 7 times, and he's made clean. There's something about that for you and I. There's something about us being made clean in the journey. There's something about us being healed through all of the moments of our life that sometimes we don't recognize until it's not there anymore. And so Naaman goes down and he does this, and then he wants to make a return. This is not somebody who worships Yahweh. This is not somebody who probably even has an inkling as to the customs of the people of Israel. He's someone who's captured them, and they're in captivity. And he goes to him and he says, how can I repay this? And Elisha won't take a gift. He won't take anything, right? That's what I think a person of God is too, is that everything that person does reflects what God does. God gives to us freely without the expectation of return. And so finally Naaman gets it. He really gets it. And he says, you know what? I'm done with my old ways. I'm done with what we would consider to be idolatry or worship of false gods. And he asks Naaman for land, for earth. Can I take this earth? And he said, because I will no longer worship my gods, but I want to give in gratitude to the God who has healed me. And so we have this conversion moment for Naaman. It's interesting, in one of our Capuchin friaries in Rome, all of the friars wanted to be buried in the Holy Land. So in the 14th century, they moved a bunch of dirt from the Holy Land, and the friars are buried there. And so when a new friar dies, they take one of the old friars out and they put the new friar in. And so in the basement, the wall is made with all skulls. It's just the most interesting thing. Typically Italian, I guess. I'm not sure, right? But not something. But I was thinking about that when I was reading this. Naaman takes this dirt and then he worships God, the God of Israel, our God, the living God, the God who comes to us in all of the moments of our life. And then we hear Paul writing to Timothy. Paul loved Timothy. Timothy's mentioned at least 9 times in the letters of Paul. Paul and Timothy were buds, and they were friends, and he loved Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy, and I sometimes get chills when I read that line. He says, this is my gospel, this is my good news, that even in my suffering, I know that God loves me, I know that God continually calls me. But he says something so important for you and I. He says that the word of God, although I am chained, the word of God cannot be changed. The word of God cannot be changed. And so I think that's true. I think as Naaman was healed and as Paul was realizing his growing relationship with Jesus Christ and who he was, that Paul was writing to Timothy and saying, remember that everything that you do and everything that you say gives evidence of the word of God living in your life, and it cannot be changed. Paul says at another time that in season and out of season, we have to proclaim the gospel of the Lord. Whether it's welcome or it's not welcome, that we're not excused from proclaiming it. And so when I think about how this word of God takes root in us here at St. Francis, it cannot be changed. It cannot. We move, hopefully, in each and every moment of our days to let other people know that we are people of God. We are people of God who accept them for who they are. We are people of God who leaves the judgments to God, not to ourselves. That we are people of God who are tolerant of differences, and because you don't believe what I believe, that's no threat to my belief. That's no threat to the existence of my God. What an astounding way to move through the world. What a difference that is than beating somebody up because you think they're different, or torturing them or kidnapping them because they don't believe what you want to believe and because their beliefs might be seen as a threat to you. What a different way that is to be in the world. It is a radically different way to be in the world. It is a very loving way to be in the world. And then finally in the gospel, we hear the message of gratitude. This gospel is so full at so many levels of meaning for us, I think, as we gather as this parish. In many ways, there's an eschatological, there's the end times in here, there's our soteriology, something about our salvation. There's something which is paranetic here, which is encouraging for us. But the thing is that Jesus is simply saying, he's asking a question. There's 10 lepers, And he doesn't say anything other than to show yourself to the priest. The reason that you would have to show yourself to the priest is because the priest would have to certify that you were cured. And so that they would have to declare to the community that you were safe again. It's an interesting position, but that's what would happen. And so again, on their journey to the priest, they're healed. They weren't aware of it, right? But something, they must have known something was happening because one of them, the Samaritan who was not a Hebrew, the Samaritan who was outside of the experience of God's salvation, is the one who comes back. And this Luke's gospel is a little bit like a traveling theology. This is Jesus' second journey to Jerusalem. The next journey to Jerusalem that he makes, and Jesus is moving steadily forward to Calvary towards the will of God for him. And so there's a juxtaposition between Jesus moving to Jerusalem, which is the center of religious life for the people of Israel, and he has to pass through Samaria, who are people who are ostracized because they worship God on a different mountain, and they don't believe exactly. And who is it that comes to Jesus and thanks Jesus in gratitude? And Jesus says, "Were not 10 healed, right? Why does only one come back and give thanks, right?" And so in that we see the gratitude that this one person had when they recognized that in his journey or in her journey, she was healed. That there was something about this encounter. That there was something about this person who didn't say anything other than go show yourself to the priest. That there was something in that healing. That moment of conversion came as a result of the physical healing, but the recognition that this truly was someone who was sent from God. And so, and that's always for you and I. That's always the point of our conversion, right? That there's something in our life that makes us recognize that perhaps we've come through that event, or perhaps we've been healed from that anger, or perhaps we've been healed from our resentments because there has been some constant relationship of God to us and who we are in our beings. And so I think that maybe there's part of that message for us too. And sometimes we don't go back and give thanks. Sometimes we stay in the negative. Sometimes our attitude is, yes, I got this, but I didn't get that, right? And you can hear some of the other lepers going back, well, he cured me, but he didn't make me rich, right? Or right, he did this, but he didn't do that. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we think that this has been given, but maybe something more should have been given. And in reality, I think when we do that, we become like the lepers then. Because we don't go back and thank God for these things. Because if we really were truly grateful, I think that really would require for you and I to be different. That thanks would require from us some way of being different in the world. Just a little bit sometimes, but those are always the moments of our conversion. I think, just in my own experience of my own prayer life and coming close to God, I eventually get there. It takes me a while, right? But I eventually get there. And I don't get there on my own. I get there because we come here on Sundays and pray together. I get there because when I speak to you, I have to listen for myself, right? And I get there through the grace of God, through no other reason. It's completely and gratuitously given to me. And so when I was thinking about all of the events in our world today, and I was thinking about who we are as St. Francis and what our really message is in terms of at least our traditions, our belief and our love of the Catholic traditions, our love of the liturgy, our love of all of the things that somehow define us as Catholics, right? Not Roman Catholics, but define us as Catholics. Our love of hearing the Word of God, our traditions, our Marian traditions, our understanding of the fact that we move in the communion of the saints, our belief in the resurrection of the dead, and that we'll see all of those who we loved, we'll see them again. And all of those things in which that make us uniquely Catholic were so important for us that we had to find a way to engage them in real and meaningful ways. And in a way that each one of us has come to understand that God's love invites everyone. It isn't exclusive. And so when we hear about these events of Tyler Clementi and Sean and these people up at Rhode Island, or those people in New York, it profoundly disturbs us. This is the tip of the iceberg of all people who are oppressed because they don't believe what the dominant culture says that they should believe. And so we get to do what Paul says. We get to live in a way that says the Word of God is not changed. that it moves in my very being to make this world a different place, to bring a measure of kindness and a measure of peace, but most assuredly, a measure of tolerance for who the other might be, and a measure of understanding that each and every one of us are invited into this loving embrace of God, and that you and I don't get the final say as to who gets that embrace, right? That we leave that particular judgment to Almighty God, because His mind is not our mind. And so as we gather today, last week we talked about who we were as the living stones that would rebuild God's church. I really think that maybe this little article in the paper maybe will send more people to us, but it doesn't matter if they do or they don't, because you and I, Francella and Brandon and Jane and Anne-Marie and Karen and Kathy and Jane and Lewis and Bill and I forgot
Alicia
and Ken and Allison and Stephen and Jeannie, you are leaven in the bread. You make a difference in this world. You let people know that to be Catholic doesn't mean that you have to be narrow-minded. To be Catholic doesn't mean that you have to have a set of principles whereby people are not permitted into full participation into the experience of the love of God made manifest in the sacraments of God's church. You speak that every time you move in kindness, every time you move in tolerance, every time you invite someone into the experience to know who you are. So let's pray today. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray that we might move in this world to be leaven in the bread, that we might move in real ways to let God and to let people know that God's love exists in a place where everybody is welcome. Truly, everyone is welcome. And that full participation into the sacramental life of the church doesn't depend on you being male or female, doesn't depend on you being gay or straight, doesn't depend on you being one race or another. It is all of who we are. See, Oscar Wilde, when he looked at the Catholic Church, he said, look, here comes everybody, right? That's what he said. And so hopefully when people look at us, they'll say, look, here comes everybody, right? And so, and everybody is welcome here, each and every one of you. And so we pray always, and I think that we pray here, that those traditions in which we grew up in might recognize something of what we have found, might recognize the gentleness and the love of Christ who tells us that we should come and lay down our burdens and pick up His yoke, for His yoke is easy. And so as we continue today, let us pray for that with each other.